I chose that song because I'm going to just be doing a simple presentation of the gospel. I want to look at in your Bibles in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Starting at verse number 18. Since for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. I have one more passage I want to look at in 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. Verses 4 through 6, starting at verse number 4. It says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, you know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, in whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through him we live. Let us pray. God our Father, it is indeed an honor, a privilege, Lord, to come together, Father. You are in the midst of us, dear God, we're two gathering when you are in the midst in your name. And we thank you, Lord God, for this great privilege of sharing your word and in your fellowship, dear God. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Father, that we may be edified, Lord God, to continue in the fight, and that you may be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message, Believe in the Gospel. Believe in the Gospel. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the Gospel. This evening, we just want to take a brief look into what this message is all about and how it applies to our daily lives. It was an interesting point brought up this morning during the class. We were talking about how people, when they're shown the truth clearly in Scripture, they can read it for themselves, and we allow them to read it, but they continue to reject it. And Sister Beth brought up an interesting scenario, an interesting question: how is it that we can convince people that even when they see it, they continue to reject it? Now, all of us have people that we see on a daily basis, maybe people we work with, go to school, or live with, family members or members of our community. And some of those people we know that will clearly and explicitly reject our message. But I just wanted to kind of share my particular experience. One thing that people ultimately need is an encounter with the living Christ. Because we can show them all the Bible that we can, that we know, and we can show it to them all day. But how many of us, when we first heard it, and when people were trying to show it to us, how many of us accepted it like that? I didn't. Maybe there were some that have, and maybe there were some that haven't. But the point is, no one just accepts it. It has to be revealed. And see, revelation only comes not by how much we study, not by even our religious works. Revelation comes as we spend time with God. As we spend time in the Word, as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time seeking His face. The Scripture tells us to do that continually. Why? Because it's a personal thing. A personal interaction and a personal experience is real. It's real to those that may not know or understand anything else. Anybody can tell you how they relate and interact with their children or someone that they love. Even their pets, their animals. I mean, I'll go so far as a goldfish. People, they want that social connection, that interaction with living things. My dad, he loves this, we got this big, huge plant and he treats it like a person. It's like, I think it's insane, but that's just me. And I mean, I brush up against the planet. He's ready to, you know, come at me. But the point is, we love to give attention. We love that social interaction. That's a part of our makeup. That's a part of how we were designed. And God did that on purpose. And He created it, and He died, and He came, and He died for this relationship. That's what He came for. He came to win our hearts back to Him. So how are we going to reach others? We're going to win their hearts. And how are we going to do that? By our religion? No. How we relate to God. Because the people that you see every day, they're watching your life. They're going to know the change. They're going to know the difference. They're going to see the perspective that you have and that it's better. They're going to see the joy and the peace that you carry with you when everything else around you is in turmoil. They're going to notice that. And I always refer to this, but Peter says, be prepared. And it's the way that you live. The preparation is in the way that you live. Because when you're living, they're going to ask. They're going to inquire. Who is your God and how can I know Him? How can I have what you have? Because what we have through the gospel is the Spirit of the living God. Dave talked about Brother Holcomb being a walking Bible. We all are walking Bibles because we have the Word of God in us. The living message of God, the Logos, the Word of God. He is God's message. We can't carry God's message on our own. The rules of the church is not God's message. God's message is Christ and Him crucified. He lived and He died that we might live. That's the message. And it's just as simple as embracing that message and living it out. And people want that message. People need that message. People are looking for that message. They're not looking for what you can do for them. They're looking for Christ. They know something is missing. They know something is out of whack. They know something is wrong. Everybody knows. Romans talked about the whole creation groaning and waiting in anticipation for deliverance from their God. He is the Savior. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is all things to all men. He is everything that there is. He is the message of God. And the message is simple. I came and I lived among you, and I dwelt among you, and I touched you, and I ate with you, and I slept with you, and I walked with you, and I talked with you, and I embraced you, and I healed you, and I did all of these things on top of going through the most torturous, horrific death in history. Having spikes driven in my hand, a crown of thorns pressed into my head. I did this that to be known. I did this because I want to be with you. I wanted to be with you from all of eternity. From eternity past, he looked down and said, I have a people that I want to call my own. The scripture says, while we were sinners, while we were his enemies, while we were living contrary to him, he died. So it's not relevant what we have done. We can't do anything to earn that. That is a pure gift of God's love. Christ and him crucified. We can simplify our message. We can simplify our lives. It doesn't have to be complicated. We've obeyed the gospel. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel, live it. If we live it, no, we're not going to do everything right. And I don't preach as if I have attained. But at the same time, you embrace Christ and him crucified. Understand why he died. Understand why he had to do what he did. Understand how vital it is and how significant you are to him that he went through all of that. He left eternity. He left the glories of heaven. And I just say, you know, some of us wouldn't even walk across the street. But he left heaven for us. Not only did he leave heaven, put it all down, but he came to suffer. He came to be with us in our suffering. The life of God is now, through the gospel, in us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. The Spirit of God indwells us through the gospel. Let that sink in. If you've obeyed the gospel, you have the Spirit of the living God. And you don't have to convince anybody of anything. Just live. People will be drawn to your God. If that's what you want, if that's what your desire is, then that's what you're going to live. If your desire is to be self-absorbed and want everything to be about you, guess what? You're not going to honor the Lord. No matter how good your intentions are. No matter how hard you try. Because it's him. It's not you. Get out of the way. Christ and him crucified. That's the message. That's the message. That was my introduction. That was pretty good, huh? Romans 1:16 says, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. What goes into our salvation? Not just a chance to go to heaven. Not just a chance to get blessings from God or whatever it is that we think. Salvation is the very essence of our existence, our life, everything that we are. If we're not saved, we're lost. If we're not saved, then we have no significance. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Jesus talked about it in John chapter 17. What is eternal life? That they may know you and the one you sent. We have, through the gospel, we can know Jesus Christ. So through the gospel, we have eternal life. It's not a place. It's a person. It's Christ. Because he died, we live eternally. And maybe some people won't agree with this, but the minute we obey the gospel and we obey Christ, we step into eternal life. I made that statement before and I was corrected, but I believe that. Because he is eternal life. If you have him, you have eternal life. The issue is, where are we going to embrace him? Are we going to obey him? Are we going to follow him when it gets hard? Or are we going to continue to try to live for ourselves? That's the issue. It's not an issue of whether we have eternal life. It's not an issue of us trying to attain and get there. It's the issue of whether we are going to embrace the fact that we are already there, because we're in the kingdom of God. Now, we can fall. We can fall away through continuous sin and neglect. That can happen. But when we cling to God and our hearts are committed to honoring him, we have eternal life. And that's what people are looking for. In the book of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he asked them a question. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" Of course, they were saying, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some one of the prophets. But Jesus, he made it personal. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And it's all about, who do you say that I am? Am I the crucified one? Am I your savior? Am I your king? Am I worthy of your worship? Bottom line, if he's worthy, give it to him. You don't believe he's worthy? Continue living for yourself. Simple choice. But if he is God, people and he's in you, people are going to respond if they're looking for him. Now, not everybody is looking for him, and that's unfortunate. But guess what? Somebody in your life is looking for God, and they're looking to you. The Bible and Peter and Apostle Peter. Even Peter or Paul, Peter calls us the living epistles. We are the Bible that people are reading. People may never want to touch a Bible, but they're looking at our lives. They're coming in those doors. And they're going to see God. Either they're going to see God or they're going to see something else. What are they going to see? What are they going to see in our individual lives, and what are they going to see as they walk through those doors when we come together? Jesus said, "Where two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." If he's here, then people will be drawn to him. He said, "If I be lifted up, stretched out, arms open wide, ready to receive all who will come." Isaiah 45 and 22 says, "Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is no other." Peter tells us in Acts 4:12, "There is no name, no other name under heaven by which men must be saved." Christ and him crucified. That's why he can make the claim that he is the way. Because he is the only way. The only way we can ever be saved is through the crucifixion of Christ. Jesus, in the conversation that he had with the disciples, he was saying how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they said, well, who then can be saved? Jesus responded, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." The gospel makes the possible possible. The gospel brings our dead bodies back to life. Take a look with me in Acts chapter 17, verse, starting at verse number 24. It says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Similar to what Job said in Job chapter 7. He says, in him is the life of every living creature and the breath of all mankind. The very air that you breathe belongs to God. The very heart inside your chest belongs to God. The very hairs on your head, every one of them belong to him. I can understand through the weakness of our nature how it can be challenging. It can be difficult. I'm not saying it's not. But at the same time, if we are convinced that he died for us, if we are convinced that he rose with all power and authority, if we are convinced, like we heard from the gospel meeting on Thursday, he said, our king, we have a king, and he is coming back. If we are convinced that he's coming back for us, if we are convinced that he is who he says he is, we will live. And through the gospel, we could do all things. A couple more passages in the message will be yours. That Galatians chapter 1. Starting in verse 13, it says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Part of Paul's testimony was his dramatic conversion. He used that a lot to get his message across. You saw how I was. You knew the type of person, and everybody knew. Everybody in his community knew the type of person he was, knew that he fought tooth and nail against the church. And part of his testimony was the radical thing that Christ did for him. When the crucified Christ came down and confronted him on the road to Damascus. Now, we may not have that type of experience, but every day, in some way, some form or fashion, we should be experiencing the risen Christ. The only way that we're not is if we're not paying attention. Because we can be caught up in ourselves. The Bible talks about in Mark chapter 4 how the cares of this life and all of those things, they choke out the word. They distract us. They get us off course. But Colossians tells us, set our minds on things above and not on the things on the earth. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. When we take our eyes off the prize, that's when we fall. If we keep our eyes on the prize, we can do what God says. We can bring honor and glory to Him individually and as a church. It's really that simple. Again, I don't speak as I have attained or I'm where I need to be. But at the same time, I understand. And more and more that I embrace the gospel, the more and more I notice that people are taking notice. And as long as they're taking notice, I have an opportunity to share. And not just what I preach to them, but how I act, how I treat them. I don't treat anybody any different. Doesn't matter. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to do whatever it is that I can for you. I'll give you the shirt on my back. I've always been like that. But people, they notice things like that. People know when someone cares, actually cares for them. People know when you're listening. People know when you're different. The Bible calls us peculiar. We should be. We should stand out wherever we go. We should be different. Because we are. Because we're born of Him. I'll finish it off with Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And that's the message. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We've all heard it. We all know what it's about. We all have an opportunity to respond. Take the opportunity while it's there. The scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. There's going to be a time where you won't be able to call on him. So understand, this is your opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come. If this is your desire, come as we stand and as we sing.